And welcome to Juno Afternoon. It's Thursday, December 12th, 3 o'clock. My name is Shona Strausser. We have a great show lined up for you today. We'll talk with members of the Alaska String Band, the Zahasky family, about their upcoming performances. We'll talk with director Danny Anker about his film Icebound, which premieres tonight at the Goldtown Theater. Pam Nelson will offer news about this year's pet food drive. And as with every Thursday, Nancy DeCherney will be here with Arts Up. Writer's Almanac, more on KTOO Juno Afternoon. And first, National Native News.
This is National Native News. I'm Antonia Gonzalez. Osage Nation leaders are criticizing an Obama administration decision. As KGOU's Kirk Gortney reports, it involves the approval for companies to seek permits to kill golden and bald eagles.
The wind energy industry requested the change, and the federal government announced it had made its decision last week. The announcement drew sharp criticism from Osage Nation Principal Chief John Red Eagle and Assistant Principal Chief Scott N. Bighorse, who say the eagles should be protected because of their religious and ceremonial significance to Native Americans. The Oklahoma-based tribe says it's concerned the rule change could make it difficult for future generations to access eagle feathers. A spokesman with the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Services told the Journal Record newspaper, more than a dozen companies have already applied for permits allowing the eagles' deaths, but they haven't issued any at this time. The Osage Nation lost a legal fight to stop one wind farm project over the eagle issue. Chief Red Eagle says the executive order from the White House contradicts federal law protecting both golden and bald eagles. For National Native News, I'm Kurt Gwartney in Oklahoma City.
The Annenberg Foundation has purchased 24 Native American objects that were put up for auction this week in Paris. Two Arizona tribes consider the items sacred. Laurel Morales reports.
Gregory Annenberg Weingarten bought the Hopi and San Carlos Apache objects for more than $500,000. Weingarten says while he was struck by the awesome power and beauty of these objects, these are not trophies to have on one's mantle, and says they belong with their rightful owners. Leonard Aubey is the Annenberg Foundation's executive director.
He's excited about the idea of just returning the artifacts, but he's equally excited about using this as a broader moment in time. Perhaps as a teachable moment.
Hopi cultural leader Sam Tanakongva also hopes this sends a message.
Regardless of your background or your religious faith or your beliefs, some things just can't be put up for sale.
This is the second such sale that the tribe, with the help of a Survival International attorney, has tried to stop. A French judge has twice ruled that such sales are legal in France. I'm Laurel Morales in Flagstaff.
In Wisconsin, Iron County is moving to evict people at a tribal harvest and educational project. The Forestry Committee started the process this week. Mike Simonson has more.
The Lacouture Band of Lake Superior Ojibwe wanted a permit to conduct scientific research at the 5-acre site in the Iron County Forest. The land is in the ceded territory of area tribes. Members of the committee have not returned phone calls, but County Clerk Michael Sari read the motion.
To recommend to the County Board of Supervisors to evict the residents of the harvest camp. All a motion carried.
The full Iron County Board will consider eviction at its December 17th meeting. Paul DeMaine is the spokesman for the LCO project. He says they would resist eviction.
I would hope that they just wouldn't rein in with a bunch of police officers and other people and start throwing people around in the middle of the winter, because I don't think that's advantageous to anybody's interest in this case.
DeMaine says LCO has the right to conduct a research project there with residents on the 5-acre site near the proposed Gogebic taconite iron ore mine.
You know, we're up there to do much more extensive things than things that Iron County can barely afford to do but should be doing on behalf of its citizens in terms of charting what resources are out there and how they're going to be altered by this proposed asbestos-laden open-pit mining project.
Iron County had moved to evict the LCO project last summer, but changed its mind and opened negotiations with the tribe. I'm Mike Simonson.
In December 2007, a ceremony was held in South Dakota for items of Sitting Bull, A Smithsonian museum returned a pair of leggings and hair to descendants of the Lakota leader. This is National Native News. I'm Antonia Gonzalez.
National Native News is produced at the Annenberg National Native Voice Studios in Albuquerque, New Mexico by Kiwanis Broadcast Corporation, with offices in Anchorage, Alaska. Funding is provided by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, the Annenberg Foundation, and the Ford Foundation. Kiwanis Broadcast Corporation is accepting art for the Alaska Native Art Auction, February 20th, 2014 in Anchorage, Alaska. Over 400 business leaders and executives attend this annual event to buy art. Proceeds benefit National Native News. Learn more at knba.org. Native Voice One, the Native American Radio Service.
And welcome back to Juno Afternoon. My name is Shona Strausser. It's Thursday, December 12th. And in the studio with me, I have Laura Zahasky with the Alaska String Band. Welcome.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, of course. So, you know, I have often thought to myself that the Zahasky family should have a documentary made about you all. Has anybody pitched you?
Funny you should say that. We actually just finished making a DVD this summer. It's about an hour long. We had a friend fly up from Dallas, Texas, and she's a great filmmaker, and we went out all over Juneau. We drove up the Eagle Crest Road and filmed some music videos. We went to Glacier Gardens. We went out in the boat, and that actually comes into town next week, and we'll have that for sale on our website. Funny you should say that.
Wow.
Buy our DVD. It'll be great.
Oh, really? Cool. Cool. So yeah. it's like an hour long? Or?
Yeah, about an hour. Hour, 10 minutes, something.
And have you seen it?
I have seen it, yep.
How's it looking?
It changed my life.
Nice.
You know, not to toot my own horn, but, you know, it was great. No, it was a really fun project to make. We're really excited about it.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So you play the mandolin and the guitar. Mm-hmm. So I've been in town for about 9-ish, 10 years, and I've seen you since you were little.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was wondering, what's that like to grow up in a family that just constantly plays music?
It's been a really fun experience. No, music has always been a huge part of our lives. You know, we were born and they handed us instruments and said, you will be in the band, essentially. That's not actually what happened, but it's been really fun. I love traveling with my family. It just cohesively, we get along great. And when we get on stage, people, you know, a lot of people will just come up and say, you guys look like you're having so much fun. And we really do. We just have a blast doing
so
it.
So it's true.
Mm-hmm, it is.
It's
all an act. No, we love it.
That's cool. So as far as touring goes, you've had some pretty big tours. Where's next for you?
Our next tour is actually New Zealand and Australia. So we'll
that leave. Must be a big bummer.
I know. We're I don't know if we're going to be able to handle it. No, we head out first week of February, and we'll be in California for a few weeks, and then we're going to head over to New Zealand, and we actually are going with the New South Folk Agency based out of Australia, and they've lined us up a 2-month tour over there. So
wow.
We're pretty excited.
And how much of the year do you all tour?
It varies. This year we're touring a little less, but anywhere from 3 months to 6 months.
A year, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That's great. And so when you said that when you were born, really, when did you pick up an instrument? It was like two? Or were you like,
I started playing when I was 11.
Okay.
And then my brother was around the same. Abby was 8 because she was younger and she felt left out and she wanted to be part of the band. So she started playing it a little bit younger.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So for those people who don't know, can you actually tell us who is in the Alaska String Band?
Yeah. Well, it's my parents, Paul and Melissa Zahasky, and they actually met playing music. And then my brother and sister and I, Abby, Quinn, and I'm Laura. So there's 5 of us total.
Okay. Mm-hmm. That's great.
Yeah.
And so you're going on tour, and, you know, you've gotten off tour, and you go back on tour, but people here can see you, which is fabulous. Where can they see you?
Well, Saturday night at 7:30, we'll be playing at the Island Pub. That's the 14th. And then also on the 28th, we'll be at the Island Pub again, same time, 7:30. And we're actually going to do a DVD release concert on the 17th of January. I think it's the 17th. Maybe. We'll find out.
Okay.
You'll see posters.
It'll okay. Great. Yeah. So the DVD release party you'll play and then also do the DVD and...
It's to be determined.
Gotcha.
There might be some of both. We'll see. It's like a surprise.
Oh, perfect.
Yeah,
love
it
surprises.
Is the 17th. I just checked.
Okay. So that's mm-hmm. this Saturday night, 7:30. Mm-hmm. And then you said the 28th.
Yes.
And that's also December, so mm-hmm. right after Christmas. And then January...
January 17th.
January 17th.
Yeah. And if you want to hear me play, I don't know, Marianne Call, who is a phenomenal singer-songwriter, she's doing a concert on the 8th of January at the Goldtown Nickelodeon and has asked me to back her up on guitar. So that's another event that's going on that we're pretty excited about.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. And her music is just so cool.
Yeah, she's great.
So. Oh, well, fabulous. That sounds like a good time. So do you all have a website, Facebook page, something where people can make sure they have all the up-to-date current information about the Alaska String Band?
You bet. AlaskaStringBand.com, and that'll have our tour schedule and also our Facebook page. Just look up Alaska String Band. And we actually do video blogs when we tour, which are pretty fun. You can keep in touch and see what we're up to and where we're at. So.
Who's the main video blogger in the family?
It's a combined effort.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Whoever happens to have their iPhone out at the moment takes the credit.
Nice. Yep. So what other stuff is the band working on? So you've got tours and you've got DVDs. It sounds like you're pretty busy.
Yeah, we're working on maybe doing a Christmas CD. That'll be in the next year, though. So right now we're just trying to pick out some songs and decide when we want to fly south to record it. We're looking at a studio in Nashville, and this is just kind of in the air, but we're excited about the possibility.
Great. Mm-hmm. So what comes next? I mean, does the family band stay together, you know, indefinitely? I guess so.
Yeah, we've been kidnapped. They lock the door at night. We can't leave. No. You know, we do it a year at a time. Usually we all sit down at the beginning of the year and say, are you guys on board? Because we have to book a year in advance. So as of this year, we're all on board and we're excited about it. So at least another year, and then we'll see from there. We don't know yet.
Yeah. What are some of the challenges of actually being in a band with your whole family?
There are none. It's perfect.
Except for
my family might be listening. I can't say anything.
Except for the lock in the closet bar.
You know,
right.
You know.
Yeah.
No, we probably touring together in a bus. It's fun and we all get along, but after you've been in the bus for 3 months, you have a little bit of personal space issues, but nothing that can't be resolved by coming home and never seeing each other.
Right.
So, you know.
Right.
No.
That's great.
Fun.
So when you get back to the house, is it like a relief? You have all this space, right?
Something like that. No, actually, we usually come home from a tour, and we all, like, it's weird if we're separate. Like, we'll all sit down on the couch, and we're like, why are we all on the couch? We realize it's because we've been in the bus, and we're used to being close to each other.
Right. Mm-hmm. Oh, nice. Mm-hmm. So how does your group decide on music? I mean, is it something where everybody's pitching ideas now?
Yeah, we all have different musical interests, different genres, so we all usually, hey, I want to sing this song, or I think this would be great for your voice type thing, and we also write some music. My dad's written a lot of music, and now we're all starting to co-write music together, which is really fun. So everybody kind of brings their own interests.
Yeah, that mm-hmm. sounds like a really good time, and especially being so close, it seems like it would work really well.
Yeah, it does.
Yeah, it does. You all sound great. Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah. Great. So can you give us those dates one more time? So you've got a Saturday night at the pub.
Mm-hmm. The 28th also at the pub, and January 17th for a DVD release concert.
That's going to be pretty cool.
Yeah.
DVD
excited.
Release. What's the DVD called?
It's called The Southeast Alaskan Odyssey.
Ooh.
Yeah.
So does it, like, follow Odysseus? I mean, we're going to see some sirens and...
Maybe.
Maybe.
Well, we'll see. You have to buy the DVD to find out.
Great. Mm-hmm. Perfect. Well, Laura, such a pleasure. Thanks for coming on and talking with us.
Well, thank you. It's been fun.
Yeah. Check out the Alaska String Band. That's Saturday night at the Island Pub. You can find their information on Facebook. And here is the Alaska String Band from one of their older CDs.
Melekalike Maka is a thing to say on a bright Hawaiian Christmas day. That's the island greeting that we sing to you from the land where palm trees sway. All the stars at night. Mele kalike maka is a wise way to say Merry Christmas to you. Mele kalike maka is a thing to say on a bright Hawaiian Christmas day. sing to you from the land where palm trees sway. Here we know that Christmas will be green and bright, the sun to shine by day and all the stars at night. Mele kalike makai is a wise way to say Merry Christmas to you. Christmas will be green and bright, the sun to shine by day and all the stars at night. Mele kalike makai is a wise way to say Merry Christmas to you. Ba-ba-doo-da, ba-doo-ba-doo-da, ba-doo-ba-doo, ba-ba-doo-ba-doo-ba-doo-ba-doo. Well, mele kalike makai is a thing to say on a bright Hawaiian Christmas day. That's the island greeting that we sing to you from the land where palm trees sway. Here we know that Christmas will be green and bright, the sun to shine by day and all the stars at night. Mele kalike makai is a wise way to say Merry Christmas, a very Merry Christmas, a very Merry, Merry, Merry Christmas to you.
And welcome back to Juno Afternoon. It is Thursday, December 12th, and that was the Zaski Family Band, also known as the Alaska String Band. You can check them out at the Island Pub this weekend. And if you haven't ever seen them before, you really should go check them out. They're just lots of fun, and they sound beautiful. In the studio with me right now, I have Danny Anker, and you're here because we're actually showing at Gold Town Theater a premiere of your film, Icebound.
Mm-hmm.
Welcome to the studio.
Thank you.
Yeah, so, you know, I've read a little bit about this a film, but can you give us kind of a rundown of what this film is about?
Sure, I'll try to be as brief as I can. I mean, it's we've been working on it for about 8 years, just completed, and it's about the 1925 Serum Run to Nome, which most of your listeners will be aware of. But the story, as I discovered, is much broader than the legend,
mm-hmm.
let's put it that way. And the film became a much sort of larger endeavor as we went along, and a much richer story than we thought when we started out.
So, for example, what would be something that you were like, wow, I had no idea? That
well, yeah, so it's interesting. So the project began with a grant from the federal government, from the National Endowment for the Humanities, and they provide very few filmmakers grants to essentially preserve American stories. And they had felt that there was something remarkable about the story of the Serum Run, and that it was deserving of filmic treatment. And I worked very hard to get that grant, and I worked off of mostly some historical writings and the very few books that are out there. And when I got the grant money and I came here to start researching the film, I realized that, well, it's not your typical historical subject, because most events of this stature have a great deal of scholarship attached to them by the, you know, by 90 years later. And the Serum Run really is, its history is a creation in part of the media at the time, and on the one hand, and of the oral histories that preserve that story on the other hand. And those two elements together are what created the story of the Serum Run, and it's where that story lives, as opposed to a typical historical film, which you can easily fact check, and it's, you know, it's got 20 dissertations written on it and 35 books, and this was really something unique in that way. And so I kind of had to rethink the story from that standpoint. And the film sort of became not only the telling of the story, but the telling of how the story became the legend.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So what? Why did you get involved in this particular story? I mean, what was the big clue? And I was like, I've got to tell this story in film.
Yeah, I wish there was some connection. I get that question, and there's really nothing beyond. It's just an amazing story. I have no other connection to Mushing. Had never been to Alaska. There's no real. I don't have a dog. My apartment doesn't allow dogs. You know, but I. This story is just an amazing story, and I. No one had done it, and it also. There were still people living when I started the project who had been there at the time and could give the kind of first-person authenticity that a film like this needs, and so that was another incentive to do it.
So when did you shoot the film, and where did you shoot it? And
so we shot in different phases because fundraising for something like this is difficult. In fact, I'm still fundraising for it. but we started shooting in 2008. Resumed again in the fall of 2009 in the Yukon region in the interior. I then came back 2010 in the wintertime, and we did a lot of shooting along the trail from Nenana and then outwards. And then we went up the coast from Unalakleet, and fair amount of interviews at that time, and then actually came back to New York after 2 weeks here of shooting and realized that one of the lenses had failed. So,
ouch.
and the shooting this kind of story requires a certain amount of hours of daylight and a certain amount of snow on the ground and a certain temperature. And so there aren't that many weeks where you can shoot something like this. So I actually came back the following year, the same weeks, and we reshot a bunch of stuff then, too.
Okay.
And then edited all throughout this process. So.
Right. And so you're from New York, you said.
Yes.
And so you just knew the story? I mean, did you just...
Oh, so there are, first of all, New Yorkers know the story because of a famous statue in Central Park.
Oh, what's the statue?
Statue of Balto, which is the most visited... site, and one of the most visited sites in Central Park, and the most visited statue in Central Park, Statue of Balto the dog.
Oh, I had
no
idea.
So very famous. It was erected in December 1925,
okay.
In the wake of the whole Serum Run hoopla. And then there are a few books on the subject that have been written, one in 1963 by a man named Kenneth Ungerman. We're actually bringing that out as a tie-in to the film. It's been out of print for a while, but we're going to bring it back. And a book written, I can't remember the publication date, but it's called The Cruelest Miles. It came out 2001, 2002.
Okay. And as far as, this connection, so you had a premiere in Anchorage. This was recently.
Yes.
Okay. On Friday night.
Yeah.
Well attended. How'd it go?
It was amazing. Yeah, we had... this was the opening night of the Anchorage International Film Festival. We had... a bunch of people came in from out of town. A lot of descendants of the original mushers were there. Some people said they came by dog team. I can't tell if they were teasing me or not, but I don't think they were. And Jurtis Baxter, who is a Juneau resident, in fact, is the oldest still surviving diphtheria sufferer, I should say. She was a child in Nome at the time and had diphtheria. And so she came. So it was just great to have that part of history present at the screening. It was really wonderful.
And that was your first time with an audience, huh?
It wasn't the first time with an audience, but I'll just say it really was the first time with the right audience.
Yes.
So,
yeah, then I love
this audience. And we have not screened it that often yet. It's so.
Can you talk a little bit about the makeup of the film? Is it a lot of oral history? Is it, you know, it's
a mix of things. You know, we had narrator is Patrick Stewart of Star Trek fame, who's just this amazing voice.
I can't, Patrick, how'd that happen?
Yeah, that was, well, you know, it's a part of that is that this is, again, this the theme of this being a legend. I wanted someone who could really, a great storyteller who could give the sense of something unfolding. And it also, the story, and I was just, in a way, hearkening back to those old Christmas specials on network television where there's always was this British narrator, and it just, to my ear, it just felt like the right match.
You needed that.
And
yeah.
so he's perfect. He just did a great job. And so it's got some traditional historical styles to it, but it's at its heart, it's an adventure story, and it unfolds kind of in real time. And we did a lot of recreations. I hate using that word, but for want of a better word, we shot with several dog teams and mushers in very stylistic ways, and tried to incorporate a lot of motion and a lot of the landscape and a lot of the danger. Storms, we created storms in the middle of nowhere, you know, at 30 degrees below zero, we were making snow. And we shot across Norton Sound, which is one of the most dramatic scenes in the story, where Leonard Seppala has to cross the Sound just as the ice is starting to break up, get to the other side before it's too late. And so it's kind of a mix of styles. So.
Can you talk a little bit about your other collaborators on this film? And did you have an Alaskan kind of connection to somebody who was like, this is how you can recreate this storm?
Hundreds of people worked on this film, and many of them, most of them, are Alaskans. I mean, I like to say I'm the only part of this film that's not Alaskan. It's truly an Alaskan project, and it was, there's a team up in Anchorage that worked with me. Bob Crockett was the line producer, and Tommy Phillips Pilafont was one of the cinematographers, and there's so many names. If I start naming them, I'll leave them out. But a tremendous number of crew members all over the state. We got a lot after our initial grant. We got a lot of support within the state from the Rasmussen Foundation, the Atwood Foundation, the Humanities Forum, Bering Straits Native Corporation. And then the families of the people that we interviewed and the people we interviewed and the mushing community, and we worked to some degree with the Iditarod Trail Committee, and just so many people were involved.
That's great. It's a truly Alaskan story. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, fabulous. So tonight, actually, the show, the movie is screening, yes,
right,
at the Gold Town Theater.
Mm-hmm.
And, can you talk about that? What's going on?
Well, it's, I'm afraid I don't know the time. I think it's 7
I think it's
o'clock.
7 as well.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
Okay.
Let's
we'll
shoot
leave
for
it
7.
We'll shoot for 7.
Okay.
I hope we'll get a bunch of people there, and we'll talk. We'll have a conversation afterwards about it. And if it's anything like Anchorage, it'll be a lively and wonderful event. So
yeah, and you can. It's great that you're here, and then people can talk to you about the experience and what it's been like. And you can check that out tonight at the Gold Town. If you can check their website out, goldtowntheater.org. Give Costa a call down there. Yeah.
And I think they're showing it other times as well. I'm not going to be there after today, but through the weekend there are a couple other showings.
Yeah. Well, great! What an amazing, project to tackle, and how cool that you're bringing it here to Juneau.
Well, thank you.
Yeah. Well, Danny Anker, the director of Icebound, premiering tonight at the Gold Town Theater. Give that a check out. If you can't make it tonight, check out the Gold Town calendar online on their website, or you could also check it out at ktoo.org. Thanks for coming by the studio.
Thank you.
And now, Writer's Almanac.
And here is the Writer's Almanac for Thursday, December the 12th, 2013. It's the birthday of Gustave Flaubert, born in Rouen, France, in 1821, author of Madame Bovary. He was a law school dropout. His father bought him a house on the Seine, and Flaubert devoted the rest of his life to writing. It took him about 5 years to write Madame Bovary, story of Emma Bovary, doctor's wife, discontented, longing to experience the excitement she only reads about in novels. She has affairs, she runs up debt, ultimately takes her own life. Flaubert wrote very carefully, agonizing over each word. He wrote to his mistress, "I brood more over an ill-suited word than I rejoice over a well-proportioned paragraph." Most of his novels got poor reviews, sold poorly. A Sentimental Education, 1869, sold fewer than 3,000 copies in 4 years. But he became very popular after he died in 1880. Henry James wrote, "The horror that haunted Flaubert all his years was the horror of the cliché, the stereotype, the things usually said in the way it was usually said. Nothing in Flaubert's view passed muster but freshness." In a survey of writers 5 years ago, asked to vote on the 10 greatest works of fiction of all time, Madame Bovary came in second after Anna Karenina. It was Flaubert who said, "Be regular and orderly in your life so that you may be violent and original in your work." And he said, "To be stupid, selfish, and have good health are three requirements for happiness, though if stupidity is lacking, all is lost." It's the birthday of John Osborne, born London, 1929, grew up in a working-class family, dropped out of school, began acting, started writing plays when he was 19, 8 years later came out with his most famous play, Look Back in Anger, a bleak play about a man named Jimmy Porter who lives in a tiny apartment with his wife and his business partner, owns a candy store, has no real hope for the future. Before Look Back in Anger, most plays in England were classics, or they were melodramas, or they were genteel drawing-room comedies, and usually had a likable main character for audiences to identify with. Osborne changed all of that. And it's the birthday of the painter Edvard Munch, born in Luton, Norway, 1863. Surrounded by tuberculosis, deaths of close family members as a child, madness, he did his most famous painting, The Scream, in 1893, after which he quit drinking, and the second half of his life was happier, but his work was not as good. Munch himself wrote, "Without anxiety and illness, I am a ship without a rudder. My sufferings are part of myself and my art. Their destruction would destroy my art." Here's a poem for today by Billy Collins entitled Constellations. "Yes, that's Orion over there. The three studs of the belt clearly lined up just off the horizon. And if you turn around, you can see Gemini, very visible tonight. The twins looking off into space, as usual. That cluster a little higher in the sky is Cassiopeia, sitting in her astral chair, if I'm not mistaken. And directly overhead, isn't that Virginia Woolf slipping along the river Ouse in her inflatable canoe? See the wide-brimmed hat, and there the outline of the paddle raised and dripping stars." Constellations by Billy Collins from his collection The Trouble with Poetry, published by Random House and used by permission here on the Writer's Almanac. Supported by the Poetry Foundation, you can turn your iPhone or Android into a virtual poetry library with the Poetry Foundation's Poetry app. Available to everyone online at poetryfoundation.org/mobile. Produced by Joy Biles, with assistance from Kathy Roach. Be well, do good work, and keep in touch.
Support comes from the Goldtown Nickelodeon with Icebound, a new Alaskan-produced documentary about the 1925 serum run to Nome. Join director Danny Anker on Thursday, December 12th at 7 p.m. at the theater, 586-2875 for info.
Support is provided by the USPS Contract Station, offering postal services including holiday packages downtown on the corner of Franklin and Front Street, featuring pottery by Tom's Pots, too. Open Monday through Saturday with extended holiday hours.
And welcome back to Juno Afternoon. My name is Shona Strasser. It is Thursday, December 12th. And in the studio with me, I have Pam Nelson from Grateful Dogs of Juno. Welcome to the studio, Pam.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Yeah, of course. So you're here mostly to talk about what is an annual pet food drive.
Yes.
Okay. So what is that exactly?
This is our fourth year doing our annual pet food drive, which is it benefits the Southeast Alaska Food Bank. So the food bank is open every Saturday morning for anyone in the community who needs it to go out there and pick up some food that they might need. And there was a need for people to have pet food available to help out with the four-legged furry family members. And so we talked with Darren Adams a couple years ago about who's the manager out at the food bank about doing this. And we set up collection boxes around town and bring everything that we collect out to the food bank, and so it's available for the community to come out if they need pet food to get them through the holiday season or winter.
Wow, that's a really great idea. So dry food, wet food?
Yep, dry. For the wet food, it just needs to be sealed bags, and then it can be individual cans. It can be dog food, cat food, any type of food. If you have a favorite type of animal, even if it's ferret food, hamster food, you know, we're non-discriminatory on what pets need food. So anything that someone feels that they wanted to donate, you know, they can just put it in the collection boxes and we will take it out to the food bank.
Oh, that's great. So do you have a sense of how much pet food you've provided over the last 4 years?
Probably somewhere, I think each year we've probably collected on average maybe about between 500 to 600 pounds of food, I think. So we've probably gotten, you know, maybe a little over 1,000 pounds of food, maybe close to hopefully maybe 2,000 pounds of food that we've been able to get out to the public, or out to the food bank.
That's great. And this is all Southeast, actually, not just Juno. Is that correct?
It's primarily Southeast. They're called the Southeast Alaska Food Bank, but it's primarily located, the food bank's in Juno. So it's primarily serving the community, people of Juno.
Great. So for people who don't know about Grateful Dogs of Juno, can you tell us what the organization does? And
yeah, definitely. We're a small nonprofit group that probably, I think we started up maybe about 8 to 10 years ago, and we really promote responsible dog pet ownership overall. We're one of the people that if you hear the Fifi and Fido pick up after your dog PSAs, that's us, mm-hmm. reminding people to, you know, pick up after their dog and to be responsible, train your pets, clean up after your pets, make sure they all have they're up to date on their shots and, you know, keeping them healthy and things like that. And we work with Fish and Game. We've done some training on for people with traps, you know, if they're out with their dogs and they get stuck in one of the conifer traps, you know, of how to get your dog out of that and things like that. And just trying to get education out to the public and how to be a responsible pet owner.
So do you have a website that kind of has is it listed? Is it, what kind of information
yep.
is available?
GratefulDogsOfJuno.org. And so it lists all the different activities that we have. We do have hikes in the summer. We'll go out if people want to bring their pets, if they want to join us or become members. It's, you know, $10 to become a member. And then we're one of the groups that you know, we'll have our listing of when we're going to go out and do what we call our poop scoops. And we go around to different trails and things like that and just clean up some of the trails to try and keep those as nice as we possibly can for the general public.
I imagine there's a big need for a poop scoop team around melt-off, yes?
Yes, definitely, and especially now even as you see it starting to snow and sometimes, you know, it kind of seeps into the snow. So, but yeah, and then as it melts, it just, you know, as springs arise is when you really start to see all the, mm-hmm. You know, all the fun things popping up. And we have supplies, you know, we even have little vests, you know, so you can, you know, be identified and, you know, that and, have little pooper scoopers and everything that we will go around and pick up after.
So are you looking for volunteers for events like that and just in general? Or
yeah, in general, if any, you know, that's all always on our website if people, you know, want to look at that. And then there's different links to other, you know, dog-friendly and activities and websites in town for things that are going on. But yeah, if they just, you know, check out our website, gratefuldogsofjuneau.org, and that'll kind of get them to what's going on and everything.
It's such a great service. I mean, people don't really think about, you know, that there are people that actually help out with this in our community.
Right, yeah. It's kind of hard to think of someone, you know, and it's surprising how many people will actually get to come out and do the poop scoops, you know, sometimes. We're always looking for new members who want to come out, you know, and help doing that. You don't have to do it all the time, but it's, you know, it's fun. We're a real fun group and, you know, totally all everyone's just kind of laid back. And so it's nice if you're, you know, a pet person or a dog person, you know, definitely check us out.
So for the pet food drive, where are the boxes located and how can people contribute to that?
Well, the boxes are currently, they're out and about right now. So if people are at Rainbow Foods, Pet Nanny, Wee Fishy, Southeast Alaska Medical Center, Tonga's Veterinary Service, Canines Unlimited, Curves, and Northern Hotspots all have collection boxes. And if you go out to Northern Hotspots, Heather Karpstein, who the lovely young lady who owns Northern Hotspots, has actually offered, if you make a donation, she's offering free tans, depending on the amount of donation you make.
Wow, I didn't know what Northern Hotspots was, but now I do.
Yep, it's a tanning salon, and she's there's a collection box out there. So if you bring a can of dog food, you'll get a free tan for it. And then so there's collection boxes at every place I just listed, and then starting this weekend there'll also be collection boxes at Safeway, Super Bear, Petco, and Foodland. So if you're out and about shopping, picking up some last minute Christmas items, you know, pick up an extra can of dog food, and if you could just stick it in the box and we'll come by and pick it up, and Monday morning we'll haul it all out to the food bank.
That's great, and that's this Monday, actually, coming up? Or?
Right, so the boxes are out right now, and then they'll be out over the entire weekend at all the places I just mentioned, and actually they'll be out all month at Northern Hotspots. So if you really want to, you know, get yourself a whole bunch of tanning, you can stop by a lot on a regular basis and drop off some food.
Okay, so we've got, so it's actually, time is of the essence here. We've
right.
got this weekend to put some dog food in one of the boxes at that list.
Right, and it can be dog food, cat food, anything that people feel moved to stick into any of the boxes. And
Any pet.
Any pet.
Okay. That sounds great. And can you give us the website one more time?
GratefulDogsOfJuneau.org.
GratefulDogsOfJuneau.org. Pam, it's a pleasure to talk with you. GratefulDogsOfJuneau.org. It's just a very cool thing that you all are doing. Thanks so much.
Great. Thanks for having me.
that's good dog ska. I really love it. Hi, Nancy DeCherney. How are you?
I'm good.
Art's up. Art's up with the one, the only Nancy DeCherney. Okay. So what's going on?
Well, you know, we got all the usual holiday stuff to get going. You know, are you way behind? I'm
you
way
were
behind.
Just going to say to get through. That's actually what you were about to say.
Yeah.
Busted.
Okay, busted. Okay, all right. Yeah, I haven't got anything done at my house yet, so I'm kind of behind schedule. So, but anyway, today at 4 o'clock, we have 15 minutes. No, we have less than that. Mm-hmm. Deadline to register for the Christmas boat lighting contest.
Yeah, and you can win some serious money.
Serious money. Okay, at 6 p.m., it's the adaptive ski kickoff party at the sale office. It's a free potluck sort of thing. There cool. is a writer's showcase, Holidays, K2 Studios, Pay As You Can. It will be filmed for broadcast on 360 North later today. I saw the cookies downstairs.
That's right. It's tonight at 7 p.m. It's this really cool writer's showcase. Alaskan writers and some writers are reading their own stories, some actors. Mercy.
In the brand new studio stuff that K2 has. It's wonderful.
It's such a cool studio. It looks yep. beautiful. I'm really excited about that. Starts at 7.
And then we also have at 7 the Goldtown Icebound premiere, which you were just talking about.
Yeah.
Danny Anker.
We just talked to Danny Anker, and that just seems like a really, really amazing, amazing documentary. Yeah.
Tomorrow at noon, it is the organ concert with T.J. Duffy at noon in the State Atrium. State office building.
Do you think they're playing Christmas music?
They might be. I'd choose that over Sousa Marches if they were to give us an opportunity. The STEM people are doing the at 4 o'clock on Friday after school sew, as in sewing, electric workshop. That's at the JEDC. We're building the offices at 603 West Willoughby. Sounds like lots of fun. Of sorts of things you can do. Goldtown's got All Is Lost. Dan Hobson's at the Gold Room in the Baranoff. And Alaskapella is in concert at the UAS Rec Center at 7:30.
Nice.
I think they'll be doing Christmas carols. So that'd be my guess.
Yes.
And when you get done with that,
yeah.
at 10 p.m., you can go to McGivney's because I've heard that Susu and the Prophets are playing.
Really? Where'd you hear that, I wonder?
I don't know. You know anything about that?
Maybe.
Okay. Very good. Yeah. So that's fun. McGivney's is becoming sort of a fun place to go.
They have bands there every weekend, and the food is good. Can
all
you
right.
believe it?
What more can you ask? Saturday morning at 9 a.m., it is the Juno Robot Jamboree, the first Lego Southeast Regional Tournament. It's over at Centennial Hall, and they overflowed to us, to the Jack.
Cool.
Yeah. Like people, Lego fans, this is for you. So head on over there, and there will be judging and robots and all sorts of fun things that you do with Legos. 9 a.m. to 3 p.m., it is the Country Christmas Bazaar, the Douglas Community United Methodist Church. There is some youth holiday hand-building class at the Canvas with Marianne Manning. The second Saturday market is open from 10 a.m. to 4 at the Airport Shopping Center. Nice place to get some really interesting Christmas gifts if you're looking for that. From 10 to 6, it is the Gastineau Model Airplanes folks at the Nugget Mall with their little flight simulators and all sorts of weird things.
Can they can't really fly it
well,
in the
I
mall.
Bet they can.
I think so.
We should go and see.
I know, that's cool.
Okay,
that's
so there you have it. At 10:30, the Coffee and Collections up at the City Museum is the settling of the Mendenhall Valley, which is a nice historical sort of thing. That they always have coffee, and somebody makes great coffee cake, and it's free, and what the heck. It's a good thing to do. 11 o'clock in the morning, you can get the Principles of Color Theory at the Canvas. Santa has moved into the Nugget Mall. He's basically there this whole week. That's as near as I can tell.
He's a busy dude.
Yeah, and it's a good place to find things. So there you have it. From 1 to 4, local brews, local books. Book signing and beer sampling at the Alaska Brewing Depot downtown.
Oh, yes. And this is the trail book, right?
They didn't tell me. It says books. Plural. So I think there might be several different local authors down there.
That's
sure.
cool. That's
yeah,
really cool.
It's a new exciting thing that they're getting going. I heard that Katrina has purchased, there was an article about her in the paper that she's doing all these new book-related things. So 2 and 6 o'clock, the Arts for Youth, Taffy, is doing Lights, Camera, Action, a winter dance showcase. This is at Thunder Mountain High School. You can get tickets in all the usual places. At 3 p.m., Goldtown has the Royal Shakespeare Company's broadcast of Richard II. Filmed live in Stratford-upon-Avon. Now, it was not clear to me if this is live streaming. I don't think so.
It's not streaming, but
it's just a live film of it.
It's mm-hmm. a live film of it that they only release to a certain amount of theaters. And being a theater geek myself, I'm pretty stoked about this.
And it's a pretty nice deal that we got to have it. So
yeah, it's a huge deal.
Mm-hmm. I think we get two opportunities to see it. So at 4:30, there's champagne and sparkling wine tastings.
Say that again.
Real slow.
Yeah.
A champagne and sparkling wine tasting.
Ah.
At the Rookery, 4:30 on Saturday. I'll see you there. Let's see. 7 p.m. is the Alaska Youth Choir Holiday Concert, also featuring the Alaska Pella and the Little Orca Singers. This is at Northern Light Church. And you get the tickets at the door. The Juno Jumpers are having their winter show at the Glacier Valley Gymnasium.
Have you been to one of those shows before?
Amazing.
So awesome.
It's kind of scary.
It's yeah, youthful and fabulous, jumping, it's
yeah,
craziness.
Yeah, good exercise. All right, so let's see. Speaking of good exercise, at 7:30 there's a holiday barn dance featuring Full Circle live at St. Anne's Parish Hall. Tickets at the door. 9:45, there's a three-band music variety show with Slushnut Snow, the Woolpullers, and King Volcano. That's at the Rendezvous.
That's going to be lots of fun, lots of original music, and Dale McFarlane helped put that together. That's going to be a really, really good time.
And you can just roll on over to the Alaskan where Rumblefish will be, too. So it's a hot time in the Old Town tonight, Saturday.
Saturday night, right.
Let's see. As I said, now on Sunday, we're getting ready for our Hit the Jackpot, and we could use people to come from 2 to 4 and help us unload all the miniature golf course things out of the container that AML sponsored and into the jack. So if you got nothing to do on Sunday between 2 and 4, come on down.
Well, Nancy, for those who don't know, can you tell us what Hit the Jackpot is?
Yes, it's miniature golf. This year the theme is movies, and I know there's going to be a Wizard of Oz hole, and there's going to be a Batman hole, and a Despicable Me, and Alice in Wonderland. I think E.T., I'm not positive about that. The Sound of Music, and maybe Towering Inferno, I don't know. And I think Snow White. Anyway, you come and you just play miniature golf, and it's really a delightful time for the whole family because everybody is equally bad at it. So it's $5 a round. The proceeds support the Jack. So it's just one of those things. This is actually, I think, our 6th annual one.
Has it really been that long?
It has. It has. And it's been really fun. So I encourage, you can rent the whole hall for a private party. Like, it's a nice thing for office parties because, you know, if you bring the spouses and the kids, and they may not know everybody, but that's okay because everybody has a little something to do and can chat, and it's lots of fun. It's
a little, healthy competition never hurt anybody.
Yeah. And speaking of which, we're having, because it's movies, on the 28th, we're going to have Academy Award Night. So it's going to be sponsored by the Alaska Brewing Company, and I think the Brown Boot Costume Company is, we just were over there. They have fabulous, glamorous outfits that you can get dressed, and we'll have Academy Awards on that evening. And then on Sunday, we'll have Superhero Day, so you can come dressed as a superhero.
This is at Hit the Jackpot.
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
Okay.
Just come dressed, you know, in your finery. Sunglasses, minx, the whole routine.
Oh, I love it.
Yeah, let's do that. Anyway, so Hit the Jackpot's what's coming up, and we're starting at that on Sunday, and I can use help with that. So on Monday there is a fish and game advisory meeting that's at UAS, and the Icebound is being shown again. And the Royal Shakespeare is on Tuesday again. On Wednesday, it's Man Day.
What? What?
Yeah, at Annie Kale's and Shoe Fly and the Triangle are all teaming up. So, gentlemen, if you're feeling a little unsure about what to get for the for your wife or girlfriend or whatever, go to Manday from 10 to 6 at Annie Kale's and Shoe Fly, and they're handing out little little things to go over and get a man beer at the Triangle Club after it is all over. Well, you know, they have a women's night at Western Auto, which I find really helpful.
Really?
Yeah, because you don't always know, you know, what's with the, what are the sort of things you want your Makita Power Tools to do exactly, you know? I mean, I want them to put up the blinds, but,
right. You know.
So it's just a nice way to help people who might feel a little shy or intimidated about sort of going in there. There's people going to be on hand to sort of help you figure out sizes and colors and all that sort of stuff. And then you get a beer.
And then you get a beer. You know, that's really funny. Manday. I don't know if I'm going to be able to get over that one. Yeah. Shoe Fly. Everybody loves Shoe Fly, men. Just,
yeah, just go
wink,
there.
Wink, nudge,
I guess your certificate will be just fine.
Right.
And Hit the Jackpot does start on Wednesday. It goes, mostly we have school groups coming in Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday, but we're open until 9. It's noon to 9 every day, except for Christmas Eve, Christmas, and New Year's Eve. So do come on down. At 7 p.m. on Wednesday, it's old-time music at the Red Dog. So you can come and play along.
Oh, yeah, it's a jam, yes? Old-time
mm-hmm.
jam?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think it's Tom Paul and some of the folks that do the music for the folk dancing. And he just said, bring your instruments and come on down. So
and do some jamming.
Yeah. So that's kind of it. And, you know, people have their holiday parties, and we want to encourage everybody to drive safely because it's kind of, it's 25 mile an hour just really out there.
Yeah,
that's
totally.
What you got to do.
Totally.
You don't want to go faster.
Yeah.
We drove over to Douglas this afternoon, and somebody was going faster, and they were in the ditch.
Ooh, ouch.
Yeah.
Yeah, safety first.
Yeah.
I wanted to throw out one more deadline.
Oh, gosh.
I know.
Yes,
I
that's
know.
Coming up.
It is.
Already?
Yeah.
You say it.
Well, okay. Monday, December 16th is the day, I believe. Yes,
yeah.
It's the 16th mm-hmm. of Monday. It's the deadline for wearable art entries. That's the word
and
on the street.
Yeah, it's coming right up, and we have quite a few. I'm very excited. It's going to be the theme is Technicolor, and you could either be really colorful or no color or whatever you like. We don't care.
Yeah, it's just a guide, really.
It's a suggestion. It's helping us keep focus.
Yes, and I can't wait. So if you are on the fence, you should go for it. Monday is the deadline, and you can get more information, as well as this calendar, online at
jahc.org.
Perfect.
Or ktoo.org for the calendar.
Yeah, we'll link them even.
Yeah.
Great.
All right. Well, thank you.
Thank you very
Happy
much.
Happy holidays.
Happy holidays. The one and only Nancy DeCherney. And we'll hear a little bit of Bird Note.
This is Bird Note. Last year, rats moved in under the hood of our old Volvo and ate holes in the hoses. Next, they took up residence in our heat pump and chewed through the electrical wires. These things cost a bundle to fix. I had to find a way to deal with rats that wouldn't harm or kill the owls and hawks that hunt around our house. When rats eat the super toxic poisons in pellets and pastes, it takes them a few days to die from internal hemorrhaging. When birds eat the rats, they ingest that poison too. When birds of prey die, it's a double whammy, because then there are fewer of them to control the rodents. EPA told the makers of Decon and others to reformulate their rat poison products in protective bait stations and stop selling the acutely toxic second-generation anticoagulants on the retail market. Most complied, but Decon didn't. I still see these products on the shelves at my local hardware store. So what to do? Okay, I just bought an electric rat killer, a device that rats climb into and get shocked. No way this could cause secondary poisoning. American Bird Conservancy and the Safe Rodent Control Resource Center have good information about non-poisonous control. We can link you to their websites. How do you tackle this problem? Let me know on our Facebook page or at birdnote.org. For BirdNote, I'm Mary McCann.
Support for this program comes from Art Matters, providing 25 years of custom framing services for prints, photos, and much more, plus an on-site gallery showcasing Alaskan prints and posters. More information at 789-4370.
Thank you for tuning in to Juno Afternoon. This is KTOO Juno. We rebroadcast on translators K276 AF in the Mendenhall Valley and Ock Bay, K269 AO in Lemon and Schweitzer Creek, K201 AM in Gustavus, K220 BT in Hoona, and K210 AS in Excursion Inlet and Icy Strait. In Juno, KTOO is on GCI Cable on digital channel 871. We're also online at ktoo.org. Support for national programming on KTOO comes from the Corporation for Public Broadcasting and listeners like you. Thanks so much for tuning in to Juno Afternoon today. And tomorrow, stay tuned at 3 p.m. Have a great day.
From NPR News in Washington, I'm Jack Spear. North Korea's official news agency is reporting the uncle of leader Kim Jong-un has been